Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Today is November 4th, 2021, and we're here on Ponce in Atlanta at the offices of InTown Collaborative Ministries. My name is Daniel Enger, and I have the pleasure of being here today with Jennifer. Jennifer, thank you very much for taking time to talk today.
Oh.
I'm looking forward to hearing your story and learning from you. Jennifer, my first question for you is a really big one, namely, please tell the story of your life from the time you were a small child up to the present day.
My story since I was a small child was, I grew up knowing I was very religious, and you know, every time I looked, we were in church, and I got an older sister, but I don't know where she's at. And after a while, you know, I started reading, and I noticed that they had articles, you know, of different colleges and institutions that were real religious. And I seen the one of God's Bible School in Cincinnati, and that's where I ended up. I graduated from God's Bible School, high school, and then I went to Marian College. And I got a degree in psychology. And after that, after graduation, I came to Atlanta. You know, this guy I knew, was like, you know, a good friend. So I came to Atlanta, and then I just relocated. That was my new home in 1982. And I worked a few places, but I was just really right there on the minimum wage. You know, I'd never got a job that was in psychology or, you know, nothing. I hadn't, you know, used my degree at all. So I was working. I got, fast food jobs. And basically, I got married. And got married to the guy. He always used to come from the U.S. Army, you know, down to Jamaica. I seen him at the base, at the Port Royal place. So we kept in contact, you know, over the years. And then we got married around here at the courthouse by 1994. We got married, and I got pregnant. And I noticed that the relationship was getting real abusive, and, you know, I didn't know what to do. And, you know, after a while, the baby died, you know, after 2 months. And then I just got up and left, because, you know, it was just like too awful, you know. So that's when I became homeless, you know. Just been, you know, wandering in the streets, and I have worked some, but not much. And I lost everything. I lost my ID. I lost it for, you know, a good while. And Matthew, you know, now it's the year 2000, and Matthew, he said he would help me. You know, see if I can get my green card. The lady, she told me, I asked her over there from the pathway, you know, if I could even get my green card as ID. And she told me, yes, but I have to be from an abusive, you know, as I told her, you know, I hadn't been really abusive, but I didn't, you know, have a little conflict with my husband and the baby and everything. And she told me, okay. And she sent me the forms, you know, with everything that was in the passport and how I went to, you know, Cincinnati and how I went to Indiana. And, you know, the last time I could use my visa was in August. 1982, so my visa ran out, and then the guy decided to marry me, and but nothing really, God, I didn't get nothing out of it. I thought maybe he would do, help me with the green card or something. And then now I'm homeless, and so Matthew's trying to work with me. He's been doing it about for a year now, but the forms, I'm getting the forms. I have three forms I filled out, and then I have two interviews on the phone, and now I'm looking for the third one. He said he would set it up for me Monday, but I don't know what happened Monday. And then yesterday he told me, he said, if I would, like to come over and do some participating in, telling somebody about my life. And I said, okay, sure. And then, here I am telling you about my awful life. It's kind of sad to myself because, I can't even imagine my life being like this. I know, I don't claim to be no Christian, but I love the Lord and everything, but it's been so awful. I just, I can't understand how my parents could, mess my life up like this so bad. All because of my, because of that visa and the passport, and my stuff gotten stolen. But that password is, it really messes my life up. He gave me a, he went and gave me the visitor's visa when I should have had the, the green card. And he's a businessman, and he got his, and they have theirs, and my sister, she even got her. And no, I don't know how to, where to turn because of that visitor's visa. I lost my birth certificate. I can't even get my Social Security card because they told me I didn't have my birth certificate. And I asked the lady, if there's any way I could use. If I had this interview, which she told me this is an interview, so I could get my green card. And I told her, asked her if if I could use my green card, I mean this interview, as my ID. And she said sure, and she gave me, she told me that I have to have proof of a, I have to have proof of, domestic violence in my life. And I don't have a whole bunch of domestic violence, but I was married, and that didn't work out. And now I'm homeless. I hadn't even been over there with the boy, and he, I thought he could have helped me a little bit more, but he didn't do it. He's, was in the army, and been overseas and all this here stuff, but this, basically that's my life. That little piece of paper.
Jennifer, of all the things you've accomplished or overcome in your life so far, what are you most proud of?
I'm proud that I'm living, really, but breathing, that's just about it. I know I have life, and I know I could do better because I see life in people, and just don't know what happened.
Jennifer, you've gained a lot of hard-fought wisdom from experiences in your life so far. If you were invited to share your wisdom with school kids in your community, giving them guidance to live healthy, safe, stable, and happy lives, what advice would you give to young people?
I tell them just to expect the best out of life and just keep trying and just tell the truth, about what's going on in your life, 'cause I believe there's good and bad. There's a good side and a bad side to everything, and just choose the good side, the best you can do, and use your judgment, use your wisdom, because it's right there before your eyes, and just be contented with whatever it is, because you choose the best out of life.
Jennifer, in what ways would you say that your life is going well these days? Please talk a little bit about how life is good for you at the present time.
Yeah, life is just, breathing, and that's good, 'cause I could have been dead, and I just don't know, just don't know if there could ever be a better life, You talk about being an archive and, being transformed and all this, you don't even know if that's the life you're gonna live. 'Cause, I don't see nothing, I don't participate in nothing, I just don't have nothing at all. And, and help everything. But, it's just like, what is help, Nobody really cares what help means. I used to do it, just, like when I was working, I didn't make no 40 hours a week, and, I just made enough money so I can pay the rent, I can have one meal, and then I can always run up and down the street catching the bus, and that's life, running up and down the street looking stupid. Looking at Christmas, I'm coming, looking at the lights. Valentine's coming, just looking at the hearts. And Thanksgiving, just looking at the turkey. It's just like, you see it, but you don't touch it. That's life.
Jennifer, looking ahead now, looking to the future, when it comes to living a healthy, safe, stable, and happy life, what are your hopes and dreams looking ahead?
I always hear somebody say, once a man, twice a child. And, growing up, it seems like I had life, more abundantly. And it's been like more abundantly since I've been on my own, Not even 14 or 20 when I graduated from college, but, after that, 20, 21 is like no life. I just don't, it's like I said, I work and, I just catch the bus again, pay rent, and get one, two meals, That's life.
What about the future? What do you dream for the future?
Don't know. Talk about go to heaven, and I don't know what kind of space they have in the sky, 'cause I don't imagine stuff like that. I just imagine, the only thing I imagine really is the whole city burnt down, 'cause that's what they talk about in the some of those magazines, you know, I used to read, Jehovah Witnesses, you know, Charles Stanley, you know, and it's just like life right now is total chaos. And I never imagined, you know, my life being like that because I just don't imagine it. I imagine good and bad. You know, I imagine evil, evil and wicked, you know. Because the life is evil, but there's some wicked stuff going on that make people don't get along with stuff, you know. And I imagine life like that, but I don't imagine life like total ruins.
Jennifer, what are some of the personal strengths that you draw on as you pursue your hopes and dreams for the future? What are some of your strengths?
Listening to honest people, tell the truth regardless of what. You know, even the President Trump. And I think he's just about the best president I ever heard of. You know, how he wants to make people's life better. You know, even with that money issue, you know, he was giving these people that work that day on any job, they would get like $1,700, you know. And a lot of people don't experience that kind of money, you know, a day. You know, you probably get it every 2 weeks. But I thought that was the best issue. I know the world just spend a lot of money. I don't know if somebody make money, but somebody is using money, or somebody is, I know they don't give away money. They don't do that. And, you know, if you ask for some money, you know, going down the street, you say, you know, you got a couple dollars I can have. And basically that's how I've been doing it, you know, and getting lunch or getting whatever. And people just don't give you. I noticed that sometimes, like, I think it was Monday, I asked this guy, you know, if he had some cupcakes. But at first he said, would you like something to eat? And I thought, you know, down there where they hand out the foods, down there by the Capitol, that's where I've been hanging out. And I seen him stop and I said, you got some food? And he said, not really. And I said, you ain't got no cupcakes? And, you know, he said, no. And, well, he said, I got $10. And he handed me $10 out the window. You know, I thought, yeah. You know, I really need $10. And he told me, you know, he said, go and enjoy your cupcakes. And I still have my $10 because, you know, I need something else because I've been eating. I need some clothes. I need some pants. And, but people just don't, you know, when you're on a job, it's like you get $3, and well, the minimum wage now is $5.75. And, you know, when you work an hour, you get $5.75 an hour. I used to work, I get $20 a day. That was $3 and $4 an hour. You know, you get 4 times 8, you know. 4 times 5, you know, you get about $30 a day. And I mean, if you're looking for money, you know, that's money. But if you're looking for life, you know, what life has to offer. And I've seen, you know, I've heard Social Security taxes and Social Security this and disability that, but that President Trump, he is the only person that ever spoke life to me, because, you know, I mean, if you have people in the world, how are you gonna, life is so meager, everything costs. The government is making all the money back, and I don't know if the government is a Lord God or the government is a man, just being so wicked, and I just don't comprehend it. Just get your friends and, treat your friends nice.
Jennifer, what are some of the challenges and obstacles that you see standing between you and realizing your hopes and dreams? What holds you back?
Don't know. I just have a whole bunch of wicked people around me. I just, just my dad, he is so wicked, and I don't know if he's the world leader or whoever it is, but that's my chance of getting held back. I don't see, the only way I see anything change is if a country pop out of the ocean and say, "Oh, Jennifer, come to me. This is your world. This is how you manage your world. This is all the things you can do. This is how you make your money. This is how you make your clothes. This is how you get something to eat." But I don't see no change in my life. Absolutely no.
Jennifer, you've spoken about challenges and obstacles that you face. What needs to be done so that those challenges and obstacles can be overcome and you can realize your hopes and dreams? What needs to be done to overcome the challenges and obstacles you face?
Is that the same question you're asking? Is in the one before that? Was that the same question?
They're similar. The one before was, what are the challenges and obstacles that you face? This one is, what has to be done in order to overcome those obstacles and challenges?
I don't know. I start believing in heaven because. No, I don't know if lands, if that's the way people get the world, or people getting new land and just try and land there and just like be your own person there.
Jennifer, I would please like to ask you some questions about the homeless community. The first one is, how would you describe the homeless community in Atlanta? Who are the people who make up the homeless community?
I don't know if it looks like guys make up the homeless community or what, but when I see myself, living in shelters and stuff, and now they want you to do it, get you Social Security started. And get a Social Security card. Use the Social Security as a as an income. Your birth certificate and your Social Security card and your ID, your Georgia ID. You use that so you can obtain housing, get food stamps, and your birth certificate. That means that you're not United States of America citizen, that you were born in the United States of America. You have your Social Security card, and you can get Social Security income, like what Trump talk about, or you can get your Georgia ID and driver's license, whatever you get housing. Them are the three things you need so you can start your life again. And for some reason, you know, when I live in the shelters, you know, I got food stamps before. I got food stamps when I first came to Atlanta, and the lady, she told me, she said, you won't be able to work when you get these food stamps. I thought, you know, I got your food stamps like in July, and my visa was finished in August, you know. So I said, maybe I can use, you know, that kind of psychology. Anyway, about the next week or so, I got a job working at Popeyes. And the lady, she told me, she said, you won't be able to get it. And then I said, okay. So I stopped. Called her on the telephone. I told her, I got a job. I don't need no more food stamp. And then what happened when I became homeless? You know, I can't get no food stamp because I don't have no ID. I don't have no birth certificate because that same lady stole all my stuff.
Jennifer, when it comes to living a healthy, safe, stable, and happy life, how would you describe the hopes and dreams of people who are homeless in Atlanta?
I kind of see it very good. You know, the Americans look at us for the Americans.
When you have conversations with people who are homeless and they talk about what they dream of for the future, what do they say?
Having a crack party. Smoking and drinking all the marijuana they can, that's basically what they do. And then when that's finished, they just go back into the shelter, and then, you know, they start the whole thing back over again, you know. They don't know if you got a identity theft or whatever, but before you know it, they got the apartments back, they got their income going. You know, they're living in a cycle world that you wonder, you know, how somebody can operate a scam like that.
Jennifer, in the homeless community, what are some of the strengths that people have as they try to realize their hopes and dreams? In what ways would you say that homeless people in Atlanta are particularly strong or particularly good at certain things?
I wouldn't say nothing like that. I wouldn't say they have a good, healthy family, but they probably do. You know, they got good, healthy parents that show them the light. You know, and being on drugs and being an alcoholic, you know, I don't think that's a threat in your life. I think it's a privilege because, you know, you need strength. You need something to mentally, you know, you need something to occupy your mind so you don't look at things so stressed out. You know, it's like things bother you, and that's why people are marijuana, so they can use the right words to, you know, it's like Tylenol to a headache. That's the way I see it. I don't know nothing about no other drug, but marijuana, I see it like that. Because, you know, life is stressed out. If you can change your thoughts from, you know, your immediate environment and think of something good, then why can't you look look at somebody talking about God, because that's who made the world, you know. And you look at people, you know, it looks like they have everything they need, you know. And wonder why you don't have it. You know, what makes life so different for you? And it just calms your nerve. That's all it do. That's all.
Jennifer, when it comes to the homeless community, what challenges and obstacles make it harder for people in the homeless community to realize their hopes and dreams? Well, what holds people back in the homeless community?
Well, I know people feel better with their own money, and if you get a disability check, that's a good challenge. I mean, you know, that's a nice one. But challenges, I mean, going to get a vocational school, probably. Winning the lotto, probably. I keep thinking reunite with your family, you know, that would be a nice challenge. I got a retreat from a church, you know, one time, and they sent me to up there in Athens, Georgia. They had a complete retreat. I said it for a whole week. They had it, you know, where I was in the fogs, I was on the trails, and I was eating nutritional food, and I heard a lot of good spiritual, you know, people do, you know, that exchange word was us to gather, and I just rested in the Lord, you know, and that was a good one, you know, going on the retreat. And all I had to do was just attend, you know, just cooperate and attend the meetings, eat, you know, go walking. They'd walk like 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, which that was real good. And we listened to gospel music on the trails. And they had it. You know, Athens University with the Georgia Bulldog, it was like right behind there, and I got to go to the college and look around. But that was a nice one, relaxing, you know, relaxing the Lord, enjoying His thing and something that you never really did before, you know. So I enjoyed that. Would be a good thing for me, plus my disability check, plus getting my green card. Those would be nice challenging things for me to experience.
What are some of the things that make life harder for people who are homeless?
Oh, I really don't know, you know, because life don't look like it's hard too much, you know. It's just like Trump say, you know, making a better space for somebody to live. You know, because they got numerous apartments over there. You can live in the most expensive one. I mean, they still have stuff like that. I seen my dad with all these issues and all these papers, and, you know, and I don't know if he's part of some kind of wicked organization or whatever it is, but I know, you know, burning down buildings and bombing up things and, you know, famine and, you know, closing down markets and food and all this stuff. It happens, but it's not altogether happened here. So there's still life. All you need is just, you know, just win the lotto.
Jennifer, from your perspective, What needs to be done so that the problems and the obstacles that homeless people face can be overcome? What needs to be done to overcome or solve the problems that homeless people face?
I know a lot of homeless people. I really haven't seen nobody in my situation before. They're lifeless. And I don't think it's, I just, when I had my Social Security card, you know, I was going on the labor pool. And just like I said, I can't, you know, get enough money to, you know, feed the homeless people, but I have enough money so I can eat a good meal, which is good. I can change my clothes. And, you know, that's part of life, too. It's not walking down the street every day, no rest, you know, no place to sleep, you know, nobody to call on, you know. And, you know, you get to the place that when you call on God, you know, it looks like everybody's doing that. And everybody got, they got stuff, you know. So I don't really know, you know, God and Lord and all this stuff. You know, it's good to pray, and, you know, you have a religious head, you know, common sense knows you that. That's the electricity in the world. You know, you pray, you tell him thank you for life, thank you for this still enjoyment in life. You know, thank you, I seen somebody expressing joy in your life, you know, and just being thankful, because that's basically where it left me, you know. Thankful, right now I'm in here, it's warm and it's raining, you know, when you're out there and everybody going busy their way, I still don't have no place to, you know. And you're going to say, well, why were you so thankful? Yeah, because I was thankful I was inside. Thank you for Matthew and him good looking out for me. But I was in the NA meeting, and they always say, just for today. And, you know, just for today, just for this second, you know, it looks like it's okay. But it really don't, because you don't need to adjust your mind, you know, every hour. You just enjoy your mind, right? I have to adjust my mind because I'm on the porch. Adjust my mind because I'm in the bathroom, you know. It's like, is that what somebody else was doing before you? No, that's not what they was doing before you. They had all the luxury they wanted in the world, and, you know, just for that word, selfish.
Jennifer, imagine for a moment that you're a powerful leader. Imagine that you're a decision maker who can really make things happen. As a powerful leader, how would you change the system to help people in the homeless community realize their hopes and dreams and live healthy, safe, stable, and happy lives? Imagine you're a powerful leader. How would you change the system?
I would probably think like everybody else do. Everybody else got it going on. You know, you don't need to change the system. You just need to change the system for me. You would say something like that. But in actuality, you know, people don't have it bad as I do, but they have it bad. You know, and to each his own. And I, as a powerful leader, I really appreciate Donald Trump. I think he's cool. You know, I think he's, you know, he didn't worry about cutting the work compensation check or cutting Social Security. Everybody do that, but they never act on it, giving somebody $2,000 if you showed up on the job that day. You know, that's like, the man was giving away money because look how many people still working. the Ford plant, all in places, you know. And just for today, they got their work, their regular check, and they had that extra money showed up, you know. And I think that was pretty powerful. And basically, if I had that power, I'd probably do it. I'd probably do it like he did.
How did he do it?
Well, I don't know how he did it, but he did it. And the government must have some kind of outstanding money that they need to put some use to it. But you don't generally see that, because if you get your Social Security checks, a lot of people talk about, you know, when you work, when I worked, and they told me, you got to pay into taxes. They take so much tax out of you, out of my little meager check. And then they tell me that at 62 years old, then I can draw money from my taxes I paid. And then when I do get my taxes, I get $257 a month. You know, that's even less money than I was getting when I was working. And you know, I knew I hadn't got no work compensation check. I hadn't got no disability check. As a matter of fact, I hadn't got no check at all. The only check I got is when I work for $2.79 an hour, when I got my first working check. And when I stopped working, and it was $5.75 an hour. So in between that time, it's like a $3 raise. Oh, you know, $3 raise? I ain't saying $3 raise. That's like a kid's lunch money a day, you know. And but at least you got a job. At least you're working. I would love to have a job today. I'd love to say to myself, I'm working. But I ain't got no Social Security card. And then when I did have it, you know, now no job for me.
Jennifer, I have one last question for you, please. Mm-hmm. If you had $1 million, and you could spend it to help the homeless community in Atlanta, mm-hmm, what would you do? How would you spend that $1 million?
No. Because everybody have a Black Lives Matter kind of attitude. Everybody know how to get money and gain money. You know, you gotta, right now you got to be in the position that you know somebody. Somebody that's leading you that way. At $1 million, who you gonna talk to? Wait for President Trump to come tell you how to run your money? I go to the bank and get some kind of attorney to show you how to run your money? Yeah, you probably could do that. An investor broker or something. How would you make the money back from the government? Because you got to make money to make money. You know, you're not making money because you get $5.75 an hour. You don't get money like that. That's like, you know, $200, $300 a week. You know, if you're talking about $1 million an hour, then you got to be able to invest your money in some kind of something, you know. And you got to look at who you're going to talk to, who do you know to help you. But if say I, you know, talking to somebody, and if I had $1 million and I could help somebody, you know, you think about getting something like Black Lives Matter kind of thing, getting a bus so you can take them from from the shelter to the, you know, to the to some place where they can eat. You know, help out with the kids some way, give them something to, you know, give them a good little holiday, like, you know. But I mean, everybody's doing that for the homeless. They're doing it for their own self.
Jennifer, is there anything else that you would like to say?
I know that, you know, I was crying and weeping and carrying on when I first started, but, you know, I look at my life that I really need help, and I don't know, you know, if, you know, I need, the only thing I need in the whole world is my green card. And I don't know what kind of trouble that is. I know it was a bother to begin with, you know, and I know it's a trouble now, you know, because, you know, look how you done messed up somebody's life, you know, and they still got their green card and enjoy messing up people's life, and, you know, talking to the world, talking to TV, talking, you know, this absolute no. You know, it's the best thing in life with somebody else. You know, it's just the way it is. That's just the way the minimum wage is. No, you can't get no further than that. So, that's the way it looks.